Welcome back to the Animals at Home podcast. My name is Dylan Perrin, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Today, I'm speaking with Dylan Levan, who is the owner of Exotic Enrichment, which is a snake enrichment store on Etsy, and it's incredible. I mean, this conversation just kind of discusses Dylan's evolution from getting into snakes to deciding to actually take the plunge on creating a business that designs and builds and sells snake enrichment and so much more too. And there's going to be so much more eventually as he continues to evolve this business. But this is obviously something that's majorly lacking in our hobby. Quite often getting into reptiles means you also have to get into DIYing things, whether it's building enclosures or dealing with snake branch or you know, creating branches for your animals to climb on or trying to build enrichment yourself. There's so much you have to do by hand that it's not like you can walk into a pet store and see all of the hamster wheels and toys and rodent things and dog things and cat toys. It just doesn't exist for reptiles. And that's why I found this conversation so fascinating. For those of you who don't get quite to the end, I want to make sure I mentioned right now in the intro, Dylan also offered a 5% off coupon for his store. So you can go to the store. The link is in the description. It's Exotic Enrichment on Etsy, but if you type in the coupon code Animals at Home, you'll receive 5% off, and I'll also receive a small commission based off those purchases at no extra cost to you. And of course, so that way you're supporting me, you're supporting Dylan's business, and you're supporting yourself and your animal, obviously having an awesome piece of equipment to use. So without further ado, let's jump right into this episode. Enjoy. If you would like to show more support for the podcast, you can do that by checking out the show's sponsor, Custom Reptile Habitats. There is an affiliate link in both the YouTube description and the show notes. If you do make a purchase through that link, a commission comes back to me at no extra cost to you. The other way you can show support to the podcast is through the Patreon account. For as little as 75 cents per episode, you will automatically be added to the Discord server so you can communicate and chat with other like-minded keepers. If you do bump yourself up to the $5 a month tier, you'll have early access to the episodes and the opportunity to submit questions to upcoming guests. Again, I am so grateful for each and every one of you. This podcast is a lot of work and costs me a lot of money each month to run, and any support coming from your end is greatly appreciated. Awesome. Well, Dylan, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to it. This was Natalia, who's one of a longtime listener, and I'm sure your acquaintance at this point as well. She pointed you out to me and introduced us, and I'm super excited about that because I think it's what you're up to is cool and new, and you know, with the way the world is moving in the reptile space, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff kind of in this domain. So I cannot wait to get into that with you. I'd love to know your background a little bit, kind of how you got into reptiles in the first place, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, I've always been into reptiles. I haven't always had reptiles. I've always kept pretty much everything but reptiles. It was always, you know, hamsters, gerbils, chinchillas, bunnies. What else?
Did you do fish?
Yeah, fish a little bit. I always wanted a snake, and it was a hard no from my mom. So, but every time we'd go to the pet store, that's where I'd make a beeline for to go look at them. And it actually wasn't until a couple years ago that I got my first snake. There's a local reptile show that they do, and we would just kind of go to it and look around, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool, you know. And so we went to a pet shop to get something for our other animals, and I was looking at the snakes like usual, and the lady there, she was like, do you want to hold one? And I was like, hell yeah. So she put one in my hand. It was a ball python. And I was like, it was like a switch went off in my head. Like, I have to have this. So that was when, like, the hardcore research started, because it was, like, amazing to me. Like, I can have this in my house. I don't have to leave my house to look at this amazing animal. So then, make a long story short, you know, after that, I started doing, you know, a massive amount of research. And, yeah, and I got my first and still my only ball python. And we got our axolotl. So we have our ball python, my girlfriend and I, and our ball python, an axolotl, our parakeet, chinchilla, a dog, and a cat. So that's kind of how
a good group.
Yeah. Yep.
So right now you just have the one snake, that's the first snake you have, and you're putting all your energy and time into him.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, given.
No, that's good.
Yeah, all the people with all their animals. I guess it's kind of, maybe I'm kind of a weirdo, but I believe in having less animals and a better life per animal, you know, than just impulse buying, you know, all these snakes because they're morph or whatever. So yeah.
Did you investigate another species at all, or when they put that ball python in your hand, you thought, no, this is going to be the species for sure?
So I started doing my research, and basically, like, I had never had a snake before, so it was, what's the best first snake? And that one came up every time, so it was kind of like, that's just what I went with. You know, I guess it was kind of tied with a corn snake, but I just like ball pythons better.
Yeah, cool. Well, then tell me a little bit about your, so how long ago was that?
I think 2.5-3 years ago.
Okay, so 3 years ago, you bring home your first snake, and you know you've done your research, and then where did your, like, I'm sure you were using online resources to learn and to do your research for husbandry and whatnot, but eventually you brought enrichment in. That's not normally the first step for a new snake owner, just because it's harder to find. You know, you're not going to see that in like the PetSmart care guide, and it's certainly not going to come up on any basic care guide. Did you immediately think, I want to do more for this animal, or how did that get morphed into your care?
Yeah, so like every other pet I've ever kept, I didn't have to look very far for enrichment. I mean, and not every, you know, you want to say hobby like hamsters, they don't all the time call it enrichment. But you go to the pet store and there's a whole aisle of, you know, you want it, they got it. You know, these climbing tubes, whatever you want. So I kind of, looking back, it's kind of funny, but also not funny at the same time. I got my snake from a reptile shop in Chicago. I live in Indiana, but right outside Chicago. And when, you know, I got my snake, I already had an enclosure set up at home and everything. But, you know, I was excited, you know, spending money. I didn't care. So, you know, I got a couple hides, and I asked the guy who was walking me around, I was like, where's your enrichment section? And he just kind of looked at me like, and he pointed me to like a half cork log thing. And I was like, you know, I didn't say anything, but I was thinking like, it's not really what I mean, but that's what he meant. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't exist. So I came home, you know, and I did more research. I never stopped doing research. I mean, that never stops. But, you know, to make a long story short, I was using the dog toy like pretty much everybody does, but I found a couple problems with it. For one, it rolled, so I didn't love that, and it didn't get
big. What was the toy? Can you describe the toy for people who can't put that image in their head?
Yeah, it's I have one around here somewhere. It's the Holy Roller dog toy. It's like a big you know what? It's right over here. Let me grab it.
Yeah, go get it.
I want my light too. Hopefully you can still. Mm. So this is the dog toy.
Oh, yes. It's kind of like a big, like, it's like a globe type shape with the hexagonal holes.
Yeah. Yep. And so I was using this for a while. And, but it would roll when I put my snake, it would roll, and it wasn't big enough. I don't know if that was the biggest one I could find in it, and it still wasn't big enough. So I don't know if it was like my creative mind or what, but I was like, well, prior to me making my own stuff, I never intended to make anything. You know, what I knew, kind of, I had an idea in my head what I was looking for, and I couldn't find it. So I kind of just made, well, it wasn't the original thing I made was not based off that ball. It was, my research led me two ways with ball pythons. One side said they climb, and the other side said they don't climb. And to me, it was like, Well, I would like to give her the opportunity, and if she does, great, and if not, that's fine too. So originally I made this, I bought these plant hangers. And by hangers, I mean, if you have a pot, it's like a thing made out of bamboo that you stick in the plant, and it kind of, for the plant to grow up. And I took three of them, and I tied them together and made like a big triangle, and it had rungs that went across. And I mean, it was not great. I mean, I tied it together with twine and like hot glued it basically, but I put it in her enclosure, and not more than an hour later, I left the room, and then I came back and she was all over it. And I was like, well, I don't know about other ball pythons, but mine climbs for sure. So, and I posted a picture of that thing that I made. I posted it in a forum, and I was like, oh, look at this, you know, look at this thing that I made. And there was a couple of people that asked me where I got it. And I was like, oh, I made it, you know, and that post told me that I wasn't the only person with that problem looking for something and couldn't find it. So then I was like, okay, well, if nobody else is going to do it, you know, I guess I'll figure out a way to provide climbing opportunities or enrichment opportunities for these other snakes. But that really wasn't repeatable. I wouldn't have been happy with it. Like if I made that again, you know, I wouldn't really sell it. So then I had to figure out a way to basically make something that I could provide for other people, which led me back to the dog toy, which I loved, I guess, the platform of it. You know, it was great. It wasn't super high because I knew from my research, again, a lot of other ball pythons they will climb, but they're clumsy, and they'll climb up something and then they'll fall. So I didn't really want that. And everybody uses the dog toy because it works. So I just made it better. And that's really one of the main things that I sell is that playground.
So just rewinding back a little bit, like what was there something specifically that made you want to go out and buy that dog toy and put it in your snake's enclosure? You know, because that is not a usual behavior for a new snake keeper. Like, did you come across something that you thought, I think this animal deserves some enrichment? Or was it more so you were so used to caring for like hamsters and other things, or birds for that matter, that have toys, and you just assumed that it would just be a natural evolution of pet care to give them something?
Yeah, well, a lot of people use that toy. I mean, if you type in snake enrichment anywhere, something is going to pop up with somebody using that dog toy. But it's made for dogs. So, you know, it's not designed for snakes, though it's a great platform. I mean, that's why everybody uses it. But I wanted to make something that was like that, but safer, meaning bigger. I mean, you know, you see every once in a while people say, you know, their ball python got stuck in it. So the solution to that is make it bigger. So that's what I did.
Yeah. So then at that point, you have this idea and you start to build this thing. Was that at that point where you're thinking I could build this and you know, meet some sort of market demand for people that might want something similar? Or were you just going to build one for yourself and kind of see how it worked?
Yeah. So originally I made one for myself. And it was what I thought it was going to be. It was like the dog. It was all the good things about the dog toy without all the bad things about the dog toy. So then I don't know, I guess I was like, I wonder if, you know, because a lot of people DIY stuff and other keeping other animals, the DIY side, it kind of, I guess, supplements the store-bought side. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really necessary, but you can do it. I found in the snake world, it's pretty much, there is no, I guess you could say, store-bought side. There's really nothing you could buy. Now, granted, enrichment's a pretty broad term. I mean, you can use anything for enrichment. And I don't profess that, like if you imagine a checklist of all the things that your snake needs, like, you know, like food, water, heat, humidity, enrichment. I don't profess that if you buy a playground, you can check that off for the rest of their life And you know what I mean? To me, it was just a better alternative than what people were using.
Yeah. Can you describe the playground design? So if for those who are just listening, we have, you know, the dog toy, which was that more of that basically a ball with hexagonal holes that sort of gave this this lattice structure. And what did you do to create your Python playground? Like what does it look like? What elements did you take from that dog toy, and what did you change to make it better for the, like you said, you removed some of obviously the rolling and whatnot. What does the playground look like?
I don't have one in here, but basically I found like this design, I think it's based off like a chemical compound, I think. And I forgot how I found it,
but
I found
it online. Yeah, it's like carbon or something. Yeah.
And then I basically just cut a third off the bottom and added a base to it. And that was pretty much it. And made it bigger.
Yeah. So,
and also.
So basically.
What was that?
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah. I was just to say, basically, it's just that same shape with a flat bottom. So it's not going to roll around, but it still has the opportunity for this animal to move through the holes and investigate and climb, but in a way that it's not going to climb up super far and have to fall and hurt itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, I didn't, you know, everybody or a lot of people have beautiful enclosures. And then you put these neon colored dog toys in it, and it just kind of threw it off. So another thing I wanted to do, and then I did, was offer them in more, I guess, earthy colors, you know, brown and things that look better with the rest of the theme of their enclosure.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about the experience of making it, and it obviously functioned better. Did you put it into your snake's enclosure, and then right away it seemed like it was a hit with the animal?
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
That's how you know you've nailed it then.
Yeah. And that was just, you know, again, it sounds crazy. I'm a guy with one ball python, but my experience was she went nuts. I mean, she was all over it. And then, so basically my girlfriend had an Etsy shop too, and it was a pretty low barrier to entry. So I was like, I don't really have that much to lose to try. And maybe these other people would like the same thing. So then I started selling them, and the response blew me away. I mean, everybody, even outside of ball pythons, I mean, I know it's named the Python Playground, I guess, cause it's catchy, but, corn snakes love it. I mean, king snakes, I don't want to say smaller retics, but very, very, very young retic, like even young Superdorf retics, I've heard, I mean, obviously they would get a lot of enjoyment out of it too.
Yeah. 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 It is fascinating. Like you said, it's such a hole in the market. It's kind of bizarre that, I mean, as you said, when you went to the pet store and asked for enrichment, they pointed out a cork tube because it's just something that isn't part of the normal reptile keeping world. And I think it is really cool to see. So when you're thinking of, I mean, obviously now you're selling these things, and I'm sure you're starting to think of other ideas as well. And I know you have a few other products that you've designed that I would love for you to describe as well. But when you're looking at creating an item for enrichment, how do you go about, you know, brainstorming different concepts?
Most of the time, it comes from me going to buy something and then it doesn't exist. And then I'm like, okay. You know, and then I just kind of go to the drawing board and figure out, okay, how can I make it exist? Another thing that I make is, it's called the burrow hide. And a while back, I was watching Dave Kaufman's Ball Pythons in the Wild. And we already kind of knew this, but a lot of the ball pythons they were finding were in these burrows, like these rodent burrows. And I was like, okay, cool. So again, I went to buy like a burrow, like a hide. Cause I look over and she's got two hides on top of the substrate. And then I'm seeing these ball pythons in the wild and they're in burrows. So I was like, huh, you know, I wonder if I offered her like a burrow hide, if she would use it. So again, I went to buy like a burrow hide and, came up short. I mean, there was nothing. So to the drawing board, I went again and figured out, okay, if there's a hide that goes, instead of on top of the substrate, if it went under the substrate, would she use it? So I made one, and actually I have this one. I was showing Lori's Patreon the other day, but this is the burrow hide. This is a mini version of it. And when it's in the enclosure, the only thing that sticks out is this hole. So the rest of this,
hole. Yeah,
the rest of this is under, basically to put it in there, you move all the substrate out of the way. You put this where you want to put it, and then you move the substrate back, you know, on top of it, to the side of it, in front of it, and then it creates a burrow. So yeah, I made that.
That's clever.
And she took right to it, and it became her favorite hide. So that was another thing that, again, I wasn't going out of my way to make anything. It was just kind of, I went to buy something and couldn't find it. So I made it.
Yeah. Well, I think this would, because as the reptile keeping hobby evolves, adding enrichment becomes more, you know, a normal kind of commonplace, but it is somewhat intimidating for people. When, just imagine you're going to buy your first snake or your first animal, and you're trying to figure out, okay, now I have to create this enrichment, or, you know, get these branches and these sticks and leaf litter and, you know, a puzzle feeder or something. If we just had an option for someone to say, hey, this is the enrichment shelf at the pet store, or, you know, go online and you can buy this stuff, it simplifies things. Just like if you were to buy a hamster, you buy a hamster wheel. I've even seen people using wheels and whatnot for some lizard species because they'll use them. You know, it would just simplify everything to the point where it would become so obvious that these things should be added into the animal's enclosures that it wouldn't take any convincing for anybody to go in and buy one, because it would just be there.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was really surprising to me. And even to this day, when we go to any pet store, I look, I mean, I always did, but I look in the reptile section. I mean, it's, you know, substrate, heat bulbs. It's like there's not, but then the next aisle over, you know, there's a whole aisle for bird stuff, a whole aisle for hamster stuff. You know, the entire store is dog stuff and cat stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are we doing? You know, like,
yeah.
So, yep.
When you put the playground into the enclosure, is that something that you keep in there permanently, or is it something that you rotate in and out?
Well, I guess it kind of depends. Usually, like, after a while, it's not enriching anymore. It's not novel anymore if it never moves. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a hybrid between those two things. So every time I do a substrate change, I move about 80% of the stuff. I don't want to move everything because I don't want to cause stress. And by move, I mean like rearrange. So I do have one in there full time, but it's not in the same spot always. It kind of moves around. And then I have another one when I take her out, that it's the bigger size one. So, you know, hopefully she doesn't know that they're the same thing, just a bigger version of it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's simple. You can be easily moved. It's not bolted in place. Like, you know, I have all these branches behind me. Those are all fixed in. I can't just move those. You know, they are part of the enclosure now. So it's not something that can be easily, you know, rearranged. But if you have this piece of enrichment that can easily be plopped around in different spots of the enclosure, it can be cleaned really easily. And it, again, you could even use it as a puzzle feeder if you want. You could put, I'm not sure if you've tested that, but I'm sure you could put a prey item inside the globe and have the animal, you know, go and investigate the playground itself, and then eventually go find the prey item.
Yeah, there's really, I mean, the opportunities are, I love it. It's just a great platform. When I first made the first, and this has nothing to do with what you just said, but when I first made the first like prototype, I wasn't even selling them yet. Because long before I started selling them, I was making them, or I was making a couple for myself. I didn't want to sell anything until I was 100% positive that it was safe, you know, and there wasn't any, you know, get everything dialed in. But my coworker bought one from me for his dog. And he, like you said, he puts treats in it. And his dog, I don't know what kind of dog it is, but one of those little tiny dogs, sticks his head through the holes, and it kind of made me nervous at first, but his dog can fit his head through the holes and grab the treats and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. So tell me a little bit about the evolution from just making them for yourself to actually, you said that the Etsy store is fairly simple to get up. Did you just put the Etsy store up and put a few photos of what you could potentially sell and just see if anybody found it? Or how did you go about that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's the SEO side, to where people type in, ball python or whatever, and it pops up. And in the beginning, it was a lot of word of mouth. If somebody came across it and they bought it and they loved it, and then they told somebody else, and that's kind of how it's gone.
Yeah. Has it been kind of surprising to you? As you said, this was not your plan to start a snake enrichment company. If we had rewound the clock, 4 years back, let's say, to the point where you didn't have a snake, if you had told your 4-year-old, or your 4 years in the past self that you would be owning a snake enrichment company, I'm sure you would have been like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
No, exactly. It's been super surprising. But it's like a passion. I've always been, I guess, innovative. Like, I've had an innovative mind. I haven't always taken action on thoughts that I've had to make things better. But this time I did. And I have to say, I mean, the people that I meet doing this, I love everything about it. I love, like when I first made the burrow hide, it wasn't I didn't go from no thought at all to this. I mean, there was a lot in between. So it's kind of like thinking of something and then finding a problem with it and then solving that problem. And then now comes another problem. And then you got to solve that. And that just keeps going until I guess you have what you could say is a final product. And for me, it's easy to make a product, but for me, I have to be able to make it and make it safe. So those two things, for example, the burrow hide, originally I didn't have this, let's see if you, this cut in here. And I added that because snakes get stuck in things. And this is closed. So in an emergency, it's never happened that I know of, but in an emergency, if your snake got stuck, you could just, it's cut almost all the way up. You could just rip it open.
So basically, the tunnel leading into that hide has enough flex because of that slit down the middle. You could, I mean, and it would be easy to break even if you actually had to, right?
Yeah, like I said, it's never actually happened that I know of, but I'm always thinking of, is this safe? Because if it's not safe, then I won't do it. It's not worth it.
What sort of feedback have you received from customers that have purchased? I'm sure you have, reviews and whatnot on the Etsy store. Are people pretty pleased?
Yeah, everybody's been happy so far. One thing that surprised me, and I didn't do a lot of research on corn snakes, just because I like them. I mean, but they weren't really what I was into. Corn snakes taking to the burrow hides was the biggest thing that
Interesting.
surprised me.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's, I mean, there's probably a lot of different species could utilize these things. And do you spend any time starting to think, spend any time researching other common species that people keep in order to potentially produce another product or some form of enrichment that suits that species better than a ball python? I mean, obviously, if you just have the one a species of snake that you work with in person, it might limit you as far as ideas. I'm not sure.
All the time. I'm always looking for people. Now I sell them the pet store in my town that I get my feeders from. I got to know them pretty well. So actually I sell them in their store as well. But they always have, rat snakes. I forget what else they have too. But all kind of different snakes where I'll see it, I'm like, oh, that's cool, and then I'll go and research that animal, and I'm like trying to find problems so that I can try to find solutions for those problems.
Yeah. Do you have any other kind of ideas? I mean, you may not want to discuss them because you're still working on them, but do you have other things enrichment wise in your head that you're kind of tinkering with?
Enrichment wise for ball pythons. Well, okay. So when I first made that thing with the plant hangers, the rods of it were made of bamboo. So actually my original plan was, but I didn't want to sell them because it was bamboo and it was open on the end and I didn't want it to absorb moisture from the humidity. So the whole thing just didn't make sense to me. That's part of the other reason why I never sold them. But it looked really good. So then I was trying to figure out, okay, what can I make look like bamboo? Because, you know, the bamboo looked good, but still offer the same effect. So then I figured out you can make PVC pipes look like bamboo. L's Reptiles has a good video on that. And it was actually supposed to be a combination of, well, actually, mostly, I was going to take all these PVC pipes, paint them, and then figure out like the most common, like 4x2x2, you know, 40 gallon, find the most common size enclosures and then paint them all and cut them all up and sell it as a package to where when you put it together, it fits inside said enclosure perfectly. And that was my original idea. And I've kind of tinkered with it a little. The problem is it just takes a lot of time. But that's another thing that I really, really want to get into.
And I imagine even with lizards, there's probably so many different opportunities to have some form of enrichment for lizards. I mean, they would probably play on the playground as well. But when I think about monitors and whatnot, like there's probably just an endless amount of things that this space could be full of. And I think you're 100% on the right path to start, you know, doing this because we need more people doing this sort of, you know, leading the charge in this area, just because there's not been really anything. Like if you want enrichment, you kind of have to do it yourself right now.
Yeah. That reminds me, that was another thing too. The owner of that pet store told me the playgrounds, he said to put a, like if this was a playground, like add like a solid piece in it and hang it upside down. And he said crested geckos would love it. I don't know. I've never had a crested gecko, but, he was saying to do that and I never got around to it, but that's another thing. I mean, there's so many, like you said, I love this. I mean, I love animals, so it's not like work for me. It's not, I enjoy it. Even if I don't have the animal, I still enjoy learning about the animals.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you get to meet the people too, that are kind of on the same page as far as, you know, improving the captive environment of our animals that we have. And you're just going to run into those people over and over again. People aren't just going to stumble onto an enrichment storefront without actually looking for it.
Yeah, it was kind of a byproduct that I didn't really expect, but in the space that I'm in, it kind of filters all my favorite kind of people to me. I mean, I love everybody I talk to because they're people like me who, well, first of all, want to offer enrichment to their animals, but like love their animals exceptionally, you know, not just keeping it and not really thinking about it, but like, I guess going a step further and like really trying to give it the best life possible. So the people that I meet doing this is just incredible. But that was a byproduct that I never could have imagined.
Yeah, you're just, yeah, exactly. Funneling those people towards you is like a perfect way to say it. And as you were saying earlier, and we chatted on the phone last night too, you were telling me that you did this thing with Lori Torini. Everybody that listens to the podcast knows Lori, and she has a Patreon kind of hangout, and you were there. So how weird is that, being going from, you know, not even having a snake 3 years ago to probably watching Lori's videos to now being invited as a person to speak at her Patreon Zoom meeting? Must be a pretty weird feeling.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been thinking about that, how it all kind of came full circle. And and I have to give credit to Natalia, because she was the one, she bought a playground for me a while back. And I never had my own, like a personal Instagram. But I made one for the business, and she mentioned me, you know, tagged me in a, I don't know what they call it on Instagram, but anyway, it notified me. And then I sent her a message and said, thank you. And then we started talking. And, you know, she introduced us and also introduced me to Lori, which again was funny because I was watching you and Lori from the beginning anyway, even before I started Exotic Enrichment, like I said. So it's really funny how that all came full circle.
I'd like to take a quick break to thank today's show sponsor, Temascus Limited. Many of you are probably already familiar with Temascus, as the founder has been on the podcast before. That's Thomas Griffiths. Last summer, we did a podcast called The Fundamentals of Lighting. And if you are any way confused by lighting, you must go listen to that episode because we break it down in very simplistic terms. Temascus is an independent animal and husbandry consultant, as well as a research and development consultant. Thomas works behind the scenes to help improve lighting technology for everything from just a keeper like you and I all the way up to really high level zoos. Thomas has an incredible amount of experience from testing lighting technology all the way to actually making sure it's implemented properly in the field, which makes him uniquely positioned to give lighting advice for animals in captivity. He works with all taxa, ranging from small reptiles and amphibians all the way up to large mammals. He is trusted by zoos, vets, and the world's leading manufacturers. This allows him to offer professional and friendly advice tailored specifically to your needs, knowledge, and budget. Temascus also covers continued professional development and training for those of you who work in a pet store, a vet clinic, or a zoo environment, and all advice given is protected by insurance. Thomas is available for both in-person and virtual consultations. If you're looking for more information on Temascus, make sure you head to temascus.com. That is T-O-M-A-S-K-A-S.com. Yeah. But like you said, it's like-minded people kind of getting together. Can you, I know we've already sort of talked about the products, but I want to make sure people have a clear idea of the products that are available. So if they went to your store right now, what would they see? So there's the playground, and I think there's the larger version of it. Maybe you could tell us the sizes of the sort of the original and then the large one, and then the hides as well. Is there a difference in sizes, or is there just one size? And then if there's other products that we haven't talked about that we should mention.
Yeah, there's. I'm trying to think of the exact sizes offhand. I think the largest playground I think is 13 inches tall and about 13 inches wide.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah, it. There's actually some people that I've heard that use the medium size for their adult ball pythons. I don't really love that, but they said it worked, so that's great. But the biggest one is definitely. I mean, that's what it's average, you know, it will work for even a female ball python adult. Mm-hmm. And then there's the standard. And then there was the mini. And the mini kind of came
about. How big was the standard?
I think it's 8.5 inches tall.
Okay.
And then I think the mini is 5.5 or 6. There was people buying the medium size for their, like, you know, 2-month-old, you know, whatever ball python or corn snakes, and they were like, oh my god, do you have a smaller version? And I didn't, so that's when I went ahead and started that. So
yeah, that's smart.
And then there was another thing I made was like a sky hide, because again, I wanted a sky hide for myself, and I went to buy one, and there's nothing spectacular about the sky hide. But how it was born was, I didn't want to drill into my enclosures, because eventually, you know, I'd like to upgrade them to even bigger ones. And I don't know, I didn't want to be nickel and dimed on holes drilled in it. So I went back to the drawing board again, and I made a sky hide, but it's got pillars. Instead of the hide being drilled into the roof of the enclosure, it's got a base that is hidden under the substrate with pillars that hold the sky hide up in the air. And that's how that works. Cool. Yeah.
So I don't think I saw that. That's really interesting. That's a great idea. Yeah, that is one of the things is, you know, you, if you're putting a sky hide in, you kind of have to damage the roof. Not really damaging it, but like you said, if you wanted to resell it or anything, you know, you're going to have holes in the ceiling.
Yep. So that's how that was born. I don't make it super big. It was kind of, again, with the guy from the pet store, he would say it like leopard geckos. I don't want to say I'm like typecasted, But in the beginning, I had to be very specific. Like, this isn't for big snakes. And that you were asking what I'm working on in the future. I'm working on making that bigger. But I guess leopard geckos are going crazy for it. So
for the skyhide.
Yeah, they a couple customers actually that bought them for their leopard geckos. And they're not super, the hide's not super tall. I mean, the pillars are, I think the whole unit's 13 inches tall. But yeah, the leopard geckos, I guess, are going nuts for it.
That and is also, really this random. Was a,
what's that?
That's really random. Like, I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, me neither. And another thing about the skyhide is, and I wasn't thinking about this, but people are getting it for their younger snakes that are in glass enclosures where they want a skyhide, but it's not made of PVC, so they couldn't get a skyhide anyway. So that was another thing that was brought to my attention recently that I had never even thought of, but it makes sense.
Well, and the other thing too is there's a lot of people who do not want to do any type of, I hesitate to use the word construction, but I'll use it anyway. You know, they might not even have tools to like drill a hole or to put screws into the top of their enclosure or just don't know how to do that. So to have something that's turnkey and easy and safe for the animal, there's no risk of them not understanding how to, you know, actually bolt something to the ceiling and then have the thing fall down as soon as the animal gets tucked inside. It just erases all of that. And you just know that this is an item that works and it's safe.
Yeah. And on top of that, I put holes in the back of the hide because there's the entry hole. And I was thinking, okay, in an emergency, for whatever reason, if you had to take your animal out of it, there was only the entry hole. So I put holes in the back, but when you put it in the enclosure, it goes against the corner. So the walls of the enclosure act as the back walls of the hide. So in an emergency, if you had to get your animal out, you could just pull the whole unit forward and the back is open.
Yeah. Yeah. That's clever. Well, I think, like I said, I think it is just one of those things where there's almost an endless amount of possibilities. And I think the most important piece is a lot of reptile keeping, even now, although it's getting a lot better, but only in the last couple of years, really, is there's almost too much reliance on DIY. You know, if you get into keeping animals, into keeping reptiles, there's going to be a lot thrown onto you to create your own things, whether it's enrichment or enclosures or whatever it is. And some people love that about reptile keeping. You know, they're happy to work with their hands and design and create. But there's a lot of people that just want to keep reptiles, but don't want to have to like tear up their basement doing a massive project or, you know, get the saw out and do all these things. And we're so lacking in that domain for enrichment that I think a business like yours could be one of those things that just launches reptile keeping into the next level, where it just becomes, like I said earlier, just so obvious and easy to pick up enrichment and add it into your enclosure without even having to second guess it.
Yeah. I definitely hope so. I was at a reptile show and this guy was trying to sell me this. I don't care about more. For me, you know, there's the whole breeding side that, you know, we don't even need to get into all that. But right off the bat, this guy was trying to sell me, you know, this, I got this Enchi, you know, het for this, you know, pastel proven breeder. And it was like, I didn't tell him this, but in my mind, I was thinking, hold on. We still have people who don't use thermostats. I still see heat rocks in some stores. I'm like, maybe we need to take a step back and focus on a foundation first before we start worrying about all that stuff. But what you said just made me think of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you, so moving forward, where do you see the business headed? Do you have a sort of a goal as far as maybe like 2 or 3 years down the road, or are you just kind of taking it day by day?
Well, a problem that I'm having, not really as much a problem. I'm on Etsy and not everybody uses Etsy. So they might be looking for something and I have the solution, but they don't even know where it is. So Right now, I'm working on, I guess, putting them on Amazon. And then I found out there's a convention in Las Vegas called Super Zoo, where, from what I understand, you just bring new innovative ideas, like pet products, and come show them off and tell people about them. And that sounds super fun. So I plan on doing that as well.
That'll be cool. Are you able to handle a decent amount of volume of orders right now, or is it still pretty, one at a time type thing? And if you got slammed, it would be a big problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can handle, it's a job, you know what I mean? It's a job on top of my full-time job.
Yeah, I know what that's like. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like I work it. It's a, I love doing it. I don't know. It's fun for me. You know, I love being able to provide these things. So, I mean, yeah, it's a job, but I don't hate it like some people hate their jobs. So,
Yeah.
as far as more orders, I mean, yeah, you know, I might stay up a little bit later and get a little bit less sleep or whatever, but it wouldn't bother me. You know, I love doing this.
Yeah. And as far as the other items on the store right now, I think we covered them. You said the Sky Hide. We talked about the under the what was the term you used for the underground hide? There, you had a name for it.
Oh yeah, it's called the Burrow
The
Buddy.
Burrow. Yeah. Oh, Burrow Buddy. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
And
about
the
it.
playgrounds. Yeah.
And then I make these so again, I was looking for a nameplate for my snake. Her name's Honey. And yet again, I didn't, you know, there was a lot of more options for that. It wasn't an enrichment item, it was just a nameplate. But I kind of had an idea in my mind of how I wanted it to look. So I made one. I don't have an example to show you. But basically, there's a base that goes under the substrate. I'm good for that. I love being able to put base, like put something in and then put substrate over the thing that's holding it so that it kind of makes the actual part of it shine more. But there's a base that goes under the substrate and then a vertical piece that goes behind the nameplate. And then the nameplate's kind of, it looks like it's floating over the substrate, and I love it.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. So is that something that people can buy as well?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I think one of the things that's happened in the reptile in herpetoculture is it seems like a lot of the innovation got shifted over when the breeding market got crazy and things started to explode there. You had all this innovation in different rack systems and tubs and you actually some really interesting clever ideas for solving certain problems. I don't believe that was the right path we should have gone down. I don't believe that a lot of those systems are good for the animal. But as far as just sort of like an ingenuity standpoint, there's some really interesting ideas that some of those companies have come up with. But I feel like maybe that's what happened is we had this all of the brain power get shifted over to one area of our hobby, and it sort of left everything just out in the dust until someone like yourself comes along and goes, wait, what? How is it possible that it's 2024 and we actually don't have some, even a section in PetSmart or any, box store that has reptile enrichment? We just skipped over that and put it all into a different basket, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like I said, like with other, it was a huge culture shock coming from keeping other animals, to come in and keeping snakes. And you're so used to not having to DIY. You can if you want to, and that's great, but you don't have to. In this case, a lot of people do because they have to. You know, there's not really a market for it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this whole thing kind of started, you know, I know I already said it, but it wasn't the plan. You know, if these things that I make existed in the first place, I would have just bought them and moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about yourself as far as herpetoculture goes? Do you think that you will get another animal, or are you going to stick with Honey, the ball python, or have you now that you've kind of started researching other animals, do you think you might add some more?
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely, absolutely, definitely want more snakes. But I think everybody's everybody's situation is unique, and I don't believe in impulse buying a living animal that, has a lifespan of, potentially 50 years. Like in my case, for example, when I drive to work every day, there's a memorial of all the people who've died doing my job, and I see it every day. So I think about it
Like died
as,
at work, or like in as a safety thing, or
at work, we're in the same.
oh wow.
And I'm not trying to be morbid, but my point is, if something were to happen to me, the last thing I'd want for my family, on top of picking up the rest of the pieces, is, okay, what do we do with these 17 snakes? You know what I mean? So for me, until I establish, I'm not, I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen to me, but that's something that I don't want for nobody in my family is snake, they wouldn't know what to do. And I was watching your episode with Chris, and I know his friend, that's what happened. His friend passed away. His friend had a bunch of snakes, and luckily Chris was there to be able to take them in. But in my case, they'd be scratching their heads like, what do we do? You can't call the Humane Society. What do we do? So I try to keep the amount of animals I have manageable, because, and then there's this whole other side of like, I'm in these like Indiana, reptile trading groups or whatever, and it's pitiful, going on there. And I joined it because I was looking for another enclosure at the time, and ball python up for trade, looking for a tokay gecko or whatever. And to me, I believe I don't ever want to get rid of an animal ever. So when I look at an animal, like I went to Tinley last year, I was looking for a Dumeril's boa because I really want a Dumeril's boa. And they had them there, of course, and I didn't end up getting one. But now that's kind of just, in summary, that's kind of just what I believe is just keeping your whatever amount of animals you have, kind of understanding, like for example, if you have a pet rat and it has a lifespan of 2 years, it's not really, you can imagine what you're probably going to be doing in 2 years. But if you have, there's like some tortoises, you have to figure out who it's going to outlive you. So these are things that I think about when I think about getting another animal.
Yeah, I think
I
that's
think that's
definitely the right way to think about it. I mean, it is a big responsibility. On the flip side, I think, and I'm not promoting that you get animals because I completely agree with everything you say. And obviously, being that's a big message that I'd like to share on the podcast as well. But I think it would be really interesting for you to work with some other species, whether maybe you have some friends that keep, or just not even just watch them move and watch them interact with their enclosures and how they interact with their environment to help you come up with other ideas for other species. Because I think there's just so much more. Like I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure if you were in an environment where whether it was a zoo setting or a private setting, watching animals move and interact, that you would just come up with different ideas that I think would be huge.
Yeah, that's it's definitely something I think about a lot. It's like, I know that, when I come, like for me personally, when I come up to a problem, I try not to let the problem win. I try to think, okay, here's a problem, how can I solve it? And I know that I'm positive there's other animals where it would be the same thing, where I'd come across something. But then there, I like bigger snakes too. And speaking of zoos, we went to the Indianapolis Zoo a few months ago, and they had a, of course, I made a beeline for the reptile area, and they had a. I'm in these. I don't have a Burmese python, obviously, but I'm in these Burmese python groups, and I see their enclosures and everything, and I saw this Burmese python at the zoo, and it was amazing. I mean, it was better than the best Burmese python enclosure I've ever seen in my life. And So it's kind of like I would love that to be the standard. I don't know what the standard is, an 8x2x2 or an 8x4x2 or whatever. I mean, this thing was like the size of multiple rooms. I mean, it was incredible. So to me, if I'm looking at another animal and at any percentage at all, if my level of care has to drop for all of my animals in order to add another animal, then I won't add another animal. And like with me, like my works, I work my regular job, sometimes 7 days a week, eight, sometimes 16 hours a day. And then doing this on top of that, and I have a family, like there's, we can't sit here and say that reptiles take a ton of time, but there's only so much time in a day. So, to say it again, if I would rather keep the amount of animals I have small and their level of care as high as possible. But definitely to get back to what you were saying, I definitely do want more animals.
I think it would just be cool for you to watch other animals, how they behave and like I said, watch them use their captive environments, because I think there's really like an endless amount of things that I think this idea could be stretched into. I'm super excited about it. I'm really happy to bring this to the listeners, because I know there are many people who are either younger and don't have access to tools, or even the concept of DIYing something is kind of outside their range. And there are people that just want turnkey things to just add to their enclosure and know that it's going to immediately add some form of novel enrichment, and it can be rotated and used as puzzle feeders. There's just so much you can do with it, and it's simple and clean. Is there anything that we didn't talk about or chat about today that you wanted to mention before we wrap up? I definitely want you to make sure we point people to the store and everything, but other than that, is there anything that we skipped?
No, not that I can think of. I'm just happy that this is talked about more, and I would, if somebody could take my idea or be inspired by something that I'm doing and make it better. I mean, I don't do this for the money, you know what I mean? And that's another thing. I'm not trying to chase money. I don't, it wouldn't be like, oh, and I know this isn't what you were insinuating, but I would never think, oh, I want to get a totally different kind of animal so that I can take this mentality that I have, apply it to that animal and, increase. That's not the thing. So maybe somebody else can make their own type of, not mine, but their own enrichment thing. I mean, that would be great. And it, honestly, I
Or I
mean,
think it would
it,
be cool if, I think it would be really cool if there are people who have an idea of something that think that would could potentially work, and if they don't have the means of actually creating something or designing something, to shoot you a message and go back and forth with you, because I'm sure you could have some pretty cool collaborative efforts here.
oh, I say that all the time. And that was oh gosh. Like I said, I was on the call with Lori for 3 hours the other day, and her entire Patreon, I mean, they were just throwing stuff at me left and right. I mean, I know it was recorded, so I'm gonna have to go back and watch it because I couldn't keep track of everything. But that's another thing too, actually. It was an idea I had in my head. But Lori actually brought it up and said, what about things for breeders? Like tubs. And that's something, I mean, I haven't gotten too much hate doing this, but any hate that I have, what, every time it's a breeder, saying that, ball pythons don't climb, you don't need all that. So anyway, that, but back to what Lori was saying, which I had kind of thought of before, like, I mean, it's sad seeing some breeding setups. I think breeding setups can be done right, but I don't think they're always done right. So having something to offer for them would be amazing too. I mean, that's definitely on the horizon as far as something that I want to get into.
There, I think there's really an endless amount of possibilities. Can you tell everybody where they can find you? So if anybody has an idea or wants to reach out and talk to you, where on Instagram they can connect with you, and of course the store on Etsy, how do they get there?
Yeah, just Exotic Enrichment on Etsy, Exotic Enrichment on Instagram. I have a Facebook page too, Exotic Enrichment. I have a TikTok exotic enrichment that I never really, I didn't, I never had a TikTok until I, I was trying to make videos to show originally when I made it. I think I only made like one or two TikToks, but I was trying to show how the playground is better than the dog toy. That was the idea. But you know, I'm 29, but I feel like I'm 99 with social media.
Yeah.
I never really got into it, but now being in this space, and wanting to tell everybody about what I'm doing, it's I'm learning as I go as far as the social media area. But exotic enrichment on everything will lead them to me. And again, I have a lot of regular customers, and I tell everybody all the time, if you have, like you said, if you have an idea of something, but either you don't feel like, figuring out how to make it or whatever, like I'm always open to that. And it's not all, as a caveat, it's not everything is always enrichment. I mean, I make hides that I like. I'm working on a hide that's shaped as a mouse trap, just as a joke. Just things like that. I mean, I just kind of have fun. But most of the time, it's I'm looking to buy something, and that's how these things are born.
And for right now, I think I remember correctly, are you do you just ship to the United States?
Yeah, the United States, and I have it set to, I can ship to Canada also. I haven't done it yet. I was watching your video actually earlier. I forgot his name, the tarantula enclosure guy. But
Jeremy, yeah.
you guys were talking about how expensive everything is in Canada. I know we were talking about that the other day too. And I was like, oh my God. So yeah, I'm capable of shipping to Canada. I don't know
But
how
the
much it
shipping
would
cost,
cost. Yeah.
That's one of the, especially coming up across the border. Like I was telling you yesterday, there's probably duty fees and some extra taxes. But anyway, I'm sure there's some Canadians that, because you don't always have to pay duty. Sometimes you don't. So it's one of those gambles that you have to take once in a while. But anyway, for anyone in the States, for sure, you can ship to them, and then if there's a few Canadians out there that want to spend the extra dollars, because it is amazing. I think it is, you probably have to pay double, but it would be nice if eventually that's not the case, but for now it'd be a little more expensive. Awesome. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'll thank Natalia as well right now because she connected us, and I think this is such a cool idea, and I'm sure you'll have people that are listening to this that are going to reach out to you with ideas, and you'll have some customers that are listening as well, which is fantastic. So thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story and doing what you're doing, because it's very innovative and exciting.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. And of course, too, I did make the discount. It's animals at
That's
home.
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you quickly just tell people so how to use the discount code, and it's just animals at home, one word.
Yeah, just animals at home. It'll ask you in the checkout for a coupon code, and it's just animals at home.
Okay. Awesome. So that's awesome. So that was something that I didn't know Dylan was going to do until yesterday when we chatted on the phone. So thank you for that. That's great. So any listeners, type in animals at home, you get a discount, and you're obviously going to have something beneficial for your animal as well. So it's great.
Yeah, and then like I said, it also goes to you also, because and again, I was listening to your channel, I was listening to you long before I even started this. Like, so that's, I'm a huge fan. So.
Yeah, so for those who are listening, Dylan agreed to give me a small commission based off people using that discount code. So if you do use the discount code, you're supporting Dylan, you're supporting me, the other Dylan, and your animal as well. So it's kind of a win-win-win situation there. So if you are interested in picking up some enrichment, you can't really go wrong that way.
Right on.
Awesome. Well, Dylan, thank you so much. This was fantastic.
It was. I love it. Thank you.
All right, that is the end of that episode. Dylan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and sharing your story. I thought that was, it's just, I know I keep saying it, but this is going to be a massive space in the next couple of years, I think, especially because so many of us just want to have turnkey solutions to enrichment and just immediately have options for your animals that are going to immediately boost their captive welfare without having to tinker with things and build things. I know there's plenty of us that like to build and do things DIY, but there's a lot of people that just want to have a solution immediately for their animals. So this is fascinating. If you didn't hear at the very end there, Dylan did offer a coupon code for everybody listening. So if you do go to his store at Exotic Enrichment on Etsy, of course, the links are in the description, and use the coupon code Animals at Home, you will receive 5% off, and a commission will also come back to me as well. So you'll be supporting the podcast and be supporting your animal with an awesome piece of enrichment. If you're looking for more information on the podcast, you can head to animalsathomenetwork.com. You can also find more information on Patreon at patreon.com/animalsathome. Not more information. You can join us on Patreon and help support the show financially that way. And finally, you can check out Custom Reptile Habitats. There is links in both the YouTube description and the show notes. That is also an affiliate link, so if you do make a purchase using that link, a commission comes back to me at no extra cost to you. And that is the end of this one, everybody. I will catch you in the next episode.